You're in tune with World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement. Nigel Reid and Zubin Sukari. You'll recall on the show last week, we had the new president of Cricket Canada in the studio, and it was a very revealing interview. Well, there are changes afoot at the top of the organisation, not just a new president, but a new CEO, whose name is Doug Hannam, who joins us in the studio. What do you know about this guy?
No, I had the pleasure to meet Doug in Vancouver a couple of weeks back. And, you know, he's coming into probably an exciting time in cricket, at least in our country. He's going to have, obviously, his work cut out for him, dealing with the boys around here. But from speaking with him, I think he's positive and should be in a right frame of mind.
Doug Hannam has been with the Ontario Soccer Association and as well, notably, with Boxing Canada. I think that's the right expression. But now the new CEO of Cricket Canada. Welcome to World Cricket Weekly Talk. It's a pleasure to have you, sir. Well, Zoob said it, you know, you're going to have your hands full probably with him and one or two others. Of course, it's a challenge, but I get the impression from talking to you off air that it's one that you can't wait to dive into.
Absolutely, Nigel. I mean, this is a tremendous opportunity. As we discussed previously, I mean, this is a sport that's growing. And the same can't be said for a lot of sports in this country. We've got nothing but opportunity ahead of us. I think having the new president, Rivin, and myself working together along with the board and everybody associated with Cricket Canada, that the future is bright. I'm not unrealistic and realize that there's several challenges that we face, but I wouldn't have taken this position had I not had a few challenges. That's what I thrive on. And what amazes me so far in my brief time with Cricket Canada is the passion and the fact that we're sitting here today doing this and the passion and enthusiasm everybody has for the sport. We can't go wrong with that. It's just a matter of channeling it the right way.
I would be shocked if you weren't sat here in an enthusiastic, bullish fashion and, as I say, waiting to get to grips with those challenges. But when all is said and done, how high are those hurdles that need to be overcome? And as you launch yourself into this new role, having had a background in sports management in various different sports throughout Canada, what do you see here? What do you identify in these early days that these things need to get done? And they won't be done overnight, but, you know, I'm going to give it my best shot, so to speak.
Well, I'm a big believer, and I think most would agree, that unless you have a solid structure and you have solid operations, that you're not going to be able to accomplish very much. My philosophy, as far as the national teams are concerned, is they should go to these events, they should go, and the focus should be on playing, and they should be ready to play. And that's their only goal. If they're distracted by anything, and if we, Cricket Canada, have anything to do with that, then we're not doing our job. So philosophically, at least as far as our national teams, I really fundamentally believe that we have to have this structure there to support them so that they can do just that. So that's the first key challenge. I think the next key challenge is working with our primary funders. And as we know, ICC is the biggest, followed by Sport Canada, and really forging a continued strong relationship with them. I'm a big proponent of not biting the hand that feeds you. And so you have to work with these funders as partners. At the same time, we have to stand strong. It doesn't mean that if they say jump, we say how high. So it's a careful balance between satisfying the requirements of these funders who are giving us substantial dollars, but at the same time, standing on our own and being strong. So that's the second one. And I don't think it's any surprise that we're heavily reliant on government funding and ICC funding. And we want to continue that. But at the same time, it's critical that we start having our own money, so to speak, and that we have the financial resources to do what we need to do to grow the sport, to provide increased support to our national team, to look at facilities, to look at the grassroots of the sport. We need this extra money to really develop the sport. So that's priority number three, is we need sponsorship, we need additional monies to be able to do what we do. The challenge with government funding and ICC funding is you only can spend it in the areas they tell you to. And that's quite acceptable because they're giving you the money. But that means you cannot stray from that formula. Whereas if you have your own money, you're free to do as you choose. So certainly that's critical in terms of sponsorship and building the brand.
If you had to take one challenge ahead of the other, would it be more critical to you to lobby the ICC and lobby Sport Canada for an increase in funding, even though they told you how to spend it, or for you and your colleagues to go and make friends with Corporate Canada and say, this is what we're offering, this is what you get for your money, and this is the partnership that we need to grow?
Well, there's several priorities, of course, but I would agree with the statement as far as Corporate Canada is concerned, is we maintain that continued relationship with our funders. The challenge with funders is we could wake up tomorrow and ICC could decide that they're no longer giving any money to Canada. It could happen from Sport Canada. It could happen from ICC. We all know that it's tied into the performance of our national team, a good chunk of that funding. And so anything could happen. If they're holding the purse strings, it could happen. Now, I don't believe that that will be the case because I still think we're strongly positioned with ICC. And part of my job and Ravin's job is to continue that relationship and establish a strong relationship and establish the organizational structure to support our activities. So clearly that relationship maintenance with ICC and Sport Canada is critical. But really, to get back to your question, is it's Corporate Canada. It's building on the brand of Cricket Canada, which we believe is strong, and we're ready to take the next step.
Does Sport Canada and the ICC give you the leeway to be able to realistically move the program forward and move the needle as far as the players like Zoob and those elite athletes are concerned? As you say, you don't want to bite the hand that feeds you, but when all is said and done, you know, as far as Cricket Canada is concerned, is it frankly a drop in the bucket? And you're sort of saying, well, we can only do this much with this, and yet you're basing on what you give us on performance-related pay. Well, what do you expect for your money?
Yeah, it's a big challenge. And for us in Canada in particular, and you won't be surprised by this at all, because international cricket is so far away, we spend a good amount of our resources on team travel.
Traveling, yeah.
Whereas if you can just jump across the puddle, you know, in no time, it's a whole different story. So we have a unique challenge in that in order to compete on the world stage, we have to get our teams there.
Does the ICC and Sport Canada realize that?
To a certain extent. But it's a tougher sell with ICC when you consider that the good part of their membership are based in Asia and Europe. So when most of your membership does not have that issue, it's hard to position ourselves on the radar where we're one of the few voices at the table saying, oh, wait a minute here, we've got this huge challenge. But at the end of the day, if everybody else around us doesn't really care, it's a tough battle.
Which is why, I guess, when we spoke to Ravin, the president, on the show last week, he emphasized the importance of having a good relationship with the full member in the West Indies, not only because there is a history and heritage of the game, but frankly because it's geographically closer than anywhere else.
He nailed it, absolutely. The proximity, the competition, there's no question about it. And we know that as a national team, and this is the case in any sport, in order for our teams to get stronger and better, they need competition. It's a fine line, and Zoob, you'll probably agree with me, is you want to have that competition, but at the same time, there's no point in our going somewhere and getting trounced.
To go from our basically club-level cricketers to the international when we play against the West Indies, or even their domestic teams, which is like the Barbados and the Jamaicas and all that, these guys are really good, and having access to that is great. But if it's just a one-off kind of tournament, it's going to be really tough to compete with them in that short format. But having the proximity to them and players don't play in their domestic the way the Dutch and the Scottish and the Irish guys play in the county level, they're allowed. They have access to playing. You know, they're surrounded by other really good players. So the one guy surrounded by the 10 is not as exposed. Whereas we're all 11 guys are kind of exposed and it's fresh all the time. So, you know, I think we're probably the worst off in terms of all the high-performance countries with not only the proximity, but our weather and our actual size of our country. I mean, we just went to Vancouver the other day, and that's a five-hour trip. You know, it's something. It's not a close trip. That's difficult, expensive, and things, and that type of thing is something where you'd be strapped with the ICC and Sport Canada, but corporately, and that would give us the leeway and, you know, maybe to get an airline sponsor and stuff.
As obvious as that seems, Doug, as you say, to have a partnership with an airline, I know, and I know you know, is actually easier said than done, because what the airline wants for their money is not necessarily what you can give them in terms of awareness, which is always what they're after, isn't it?
And it's a highly competitive market.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not the only NSO out there looking for money. I mean, everybody is out there looking for money and looking for sponsorship because they have equal challenges because we're all in Canada. So it's very challenging, and I agree with what you say in terms of, you know, if a sponsor can offer this money, it's well and good, but what strings are attached, and can we deliver? And so that's a big challenge, because if somebody wants to turn around and offer us $100,000 tomorrow, but they say you have to do this, that, and the other thing, it's not dissimilar to ICC and Sport Canada, where now you're trying to satisfy the requirements of a sponsor, and can you do that?
But then being realistic, you can't afford to look a gift horse in the mouth.
That's the challenge, so it's a very fine line.
As far as corporate Canada is concerned, you're 5 minutes into the job, and you know you've hardly got your feet under the table. But you know, have you sort of come in with a laundry list of people that you would like to sit down with in an ideal world?
Oh, sure. Well, yeah. I mean, we're fortunate in that, and the same can't be said for a lot of national sports. We're fortunate that Cricket Canada is based in Toronto. This is one example where geography works in our favor, because we're sitting in Toronto. We have direct access to corporate Canada. So that's a huge plus. We have to look for organizations and companies that have an affiliation or connection with the game of cricket. It's about relationship building. It can't happen overnight, and that's the big challenge we have. Ravin and I would love to get, you know, that money in immediately, and it would help the organization tremendously. But at the same time, we know that sponsorship is relationship building, and that takes time.
Is it also about awareness and perception of the game? And cricket, to an extent, and it's sort of apples and pears, in Canada is no different from other sports which you've worked with, soccer particularly, boxing as well. In a country where you can turn on the TV or pick up a newspaper on any day of any week and see pages and pages and pages of hockey and then a bit of baseball and a little bit of basketball, and then it's those other sports that tend to fly under the radar for everybody except those of us who get it and understand it, and perhaps bring our passions from other countries. So when you're going to corporate Canada and you're saying, this is a fantastic sport, it's a growing sport, it's multicultural, it's diverse, it's all the things you want to point your customers towards, and they say, what's cricket again?
My pitch to companies would be, we have a reach in terms of population here, and let's be frank, it's an immigrant population. So we have an opportunity there. And as companies, they're always trying to reach different demographics. And we have a handle on a key demographic here that we can position for them.
And it's great to talk about demographics, and that's absolutely understandable. And as you say, it is based essentially on an immigrant population. But here we have Zubin Sukari, who is a born and bred Torontonian, and every time we have this conversation, I feel a little uncomfortable because I think you might be offended by the fact that Cricket Canada bases itself and its expectations on an immigrant population. You're a born and bred Canadian.
Yeah, I mean, which is where we should be targeting and developing, trying to develop within our country. But Canada is, and we got asked this when we went to the World Cup, and the Bangladesh were in the media, and they're asking, you know, which one of you guys are Canadian? Like, you're all from different countries. Yeah. And I said, perhaps you haven't been to Toronto. This is exactly a proper indication of what Canada is. It's completely developed in the last 50 years, 60 years on immigrants. And cricket has been in this country longer than people think. USA and Canada played the first ever international match. My cricket club is 150-plus years old. There's cricket clubs in the US that are around that age. So the game's been here. It has its roots in here. The fact of the matter is how we bring it all together now in 2012 and going forward is the key. And you know what I think people forget is that we have access to the national flag. You can't. It's not just a club team or a city based team. You have your national flag, regardless if you win or lose. You have access to the Canadian flag, which you can, you know, which sponsor doesn't want to be attached to a national team?
Absolutely right. And the challenge that, of course, that presents to you, and as you prefaced your comments at the start of the conversation, you want the national team to be out there and competing as well as it can and representing Canada. But when you've got a national team that recently failed to qualify for the World T20s, and other than that, it's, you know, every 4 years, let's hope this team qualifies for the Cricket World Cup. Where is the exposure for the national team that corporate Canada can latch onto?
I think it's continued exposure and continued opportunity. I mean, the one good thing is that being an associate member with ICC allows us to compete in a multitude of different competitions. So that's the good news for cricket.
But the World Cup only comes around once every 4 years, and that's what most people watch.
It's true. There's no question. And for most sports in a similar capacity is they go away. And you don't hear anything about them for that time. But I feel differently about cricket in terms of the opportunity, that we have more opportunities on the world stage than a lot of other sports don't. And that it's that one event, and if they don't qualify, basketball faces this, soccer. I mean, what, if they don't qualify, they're done.
Olympics, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm a little more positive about it. I'm realistic at the same time, because we recognize that the World Cup is the pinnacle. But at the same time, you know, if I'm talking to corporate Canada, I know our teams are still out there. They're still competing at the international level, which the same can't be said for every national sport. And there's still that profile. So there are positives, no question.
Last week on the show, I asked the president where he'd like to be in 5 years' time. It's only fair, Doug, that I ask you the same question. What can you bring to Cricket Canada that will make this a whole different conversation in 5 years' time?
First of all, I think from where we are today to where we want to be in 5 years, I'd like the whole landscape to change. First of all, in terms of our brand, in terms of our image, I want Cricket Canada to be a strong entity with corporate Canada, and that we have the brand. I think grassroots development is critical. I think we have to have a solid feeder system to our national teams. The good thing right now, as I understand it, is we've got some young players on the national team with all kinds of potential. We have to keep feeding in. So certainly the grassroots level has to be developed and has to be strong. I think most people would agree that we'd love to have a league in Canada, possibly a professional league. So in 5 years from now, I think that's realistic. I think we need a venue. I think we need a national venue. It's made such a difference to soccer. It's made such a difference to tennis. I was talking with somebody yesterday, and they said, as soon as that National Tennis Center went up, everything changed for Tennis Canada, because now they have a home. Now they have something they can sell. So I think a national stadium, whatever the way it looks, wherever it sits, is critical. So that's what I'd like to see in the next 5 years. And I'd like to see us continue to be a force internationally and represent Canada as strongly as possible. And certainly, I think what everybody will appreciate is, I want that national pride in all of our national teams. They want to, and I'm sure you felt this when you played Zub, I want everybody on the team excited and proud to play for Canada, because there's very few people who get that opportunity to play on the international stage and represent their country. So that's philosophically where we need to be. And of course, I'd love to have lots of money and have that funding that we can count on.
I look forward to continuing this conversation in 2017. Doug Hannam is the CEO of Cricket Canada. You're in tune with World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement.